Okay, folks, here's part two of our two-part interview with Dr. Therese Rowley. So if you missed the first one, you might want to tune in, and that's podcast number 301. But on this one, Dr. Therese identifies Kathy as something called clairsentient, which basically says that she feels the emotional states of others, and she challenges me to, and I quote, "If I wasn't such a deep feeler, I wouldn't need these walls that I built up." So kind of hits us on a personal note, but it's a wonderful interview. And then lastly, she talks about children and how a lot of kids who are hyperactive, she has a lot of really good tools that don't consist of traditional medication. And it's really interesting. So hopefully you enjoyed as much as we did. And here we go, Dr. Therese Rowley.
It doesn't matter so much.
Interesting.
So we're trying to align people so that what matters to them is detachment, it's release.
Interesting.
And something that, and again, through practice, I used to, if I was with somebody and I matched what was going on with them, not only would I feel it, I would carry it out with me, and I would get into significant depressions because I didn't know how to. You know, this was historically, this was, you know, in our 30s when we were first together.
Yeah.
And there were lots of other things going on. I'm not saying that person gave it to me. It's not like that. Really, it just brought up my crap. And so...
So your intuitive intelligence is called clairsentience. Clairsentience comes just below the belly, and it sends out cords to people, other people. And when it does, it's like a blind person putting their hands on your face to get to know you. So there's no eyes, it's just feeling. So you're sending out a cord to somebody's field, and there's only two questions you're asking. Are you okay, and am I safe? And if you're not okay, I'm not safe, because I can feel your feelings. What happens in terms of the skill of intuitive intelligence is, if you know that's your intuitive intelligence, that you're mostly clairsentient, then you send your cords out there. You take your energy back with you, and you know this is my boundary, and I'm this, and you're that. You know, there's uniqueness, connection, and unity. And if we do those in dynamic balance, we're always going to be in better shape. Mm-hmm. So we have to know that we're unique in the way that we experience the world. So, for example, you're clairsentient, so you experience the world through feeling first, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And then there's the connection that we make. How are you doing? And the person says, oh, I'm not doing well. And then there's unity. We're all actually well in unity. So the difference is, oh, I'm so, so sorry. It must be very difficult for you right now. I feel so bad. Or, wow, that feels like a really difficult place to be. And I know you have gotten through so many things, and you've been so brave. I know that you're going to do it, and I'm going to be right here. Mm. Do you see the difference?
I do.
One is a boundary that's healthy, and the other one is, I'm feeling your feeling, and I'm going to try to feel it with you. That doesn't help them.
No.
It doesn't help you. And if you take that energy in and carry it around, like a lot of people, there's only three things that can happen. You gain weight, mm-hmm. right? Because it's other people's energy, and you can't process other people's energy. Mm-hmm. Or you get sick because you can't process someone else's energy.
Migraines.
Or you get, oftentimes people will get into accidents because that'll jar them into rethinking what they're doing. But mostly it's those two. It's either get sick or gain weight.
Yeah. Annie, our friend Annie Burnside, who we've talked about on the show a lot, she at one point was really helpful. These words, they stick in my head. Don't go into somebody's darkness with them, because then you can't help them come out of it. If you're in there with them, then you can't bring them back out. So you got to stay. She actually, it gave me a great visual of, you're bringing it in and sharing it out, not pulling theirs in and taking it on. And it's like my legs are tingling because that's, okay, sorry,
Todd. Imagine that. No, you're all good.
That was really helpful.
I was a little confused. I feel like this can be a two-hour interview, which it's not going to be because we have some time restraints. But two things. One is, you just identify Kathy as a clairsentient. I still don't quite understand what that means, but... And I feel like I'm a pretty good husband, but can you, and I know you're not a relationship expert, but...
Oh, she is.
Are you?
Of course.
But can you, and we've been, today's our 14-year anniversary, right?
Uh-huh. Congratulations.
Can you give me some help and understand, because I know that she's got some crazy, weird gifts that I don't understand. And I try to support them, but is there anything you can say to me or any other spouse that's listening to this, and that spouse knows that their partner actually has some of these gifts? Because, you know, if I wasn't more loving, I'd be like, you're a whack job, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you can tell me or help me understand to better support her?
Yeah, and I think that the most important thing is to know that you have capacities that are not useful to you right now, or that you prefer not to be in touch with. Mm-hmm. And the more that you're not in touch with a capacity that you have, the more that you will project onto someone else. Mm-hmm. So what'll happen is, if you say, look, I'm not a really emotional guy.
Yeah.
I'm not in touch with my emotions. It's not a big deal for me. I work from my head.
Yeah.
All you're doing is saying that I'm not, and it may be a fear stopping you from connecting to those emotions, which would be sort of the subject of a reading. But if you say hello to your own feelings and you start to say, how do I feel right now? And
right.
don't answer it.
Right.
Just ask it. Just stop and say, how do I feel? You don't have to know. After a while, something will come, because you're putting out a portal that allows a voice to come through. Mm. The more that you are kind to yourself and say, maybe I do have a deeper capacity for feelings than I think, mm-hmm. and you allow yourself to be in more relationship with yourself, the relationship outside will change.
Right.
So it will always get better, because as above, so below, as within, so without is a universal principle. You cannot have a relationship with somebody else that you're not having with yourself already.
Right.
So if someone else looks exaggerated to you in a certain area, it means you're not owning whatever you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And then it would be all about you saying, well, what would it be like if I did have feelings? What would that be like?
Right.
So again, if you go into that territory, you'll probably hit some fear.
Well, it's funny, because you kind of just nailed me in a sense. And what I mean by that is, I know I'm a very confident husband. I'm a very confident father. But the one thing that I've been working through for the last 15 years is my inability to express emotions, and then probably even to recognize them. And I always blame my mom and my dad, because they fought when I was little and I kind of built these walls up and all these other things. So it's very interesting to me that you've kind of identified me very quickly. And, you know, maybe a lot of people could have done that, but that is, in fact, what it is I've been working on. And I recognize that it's because we all have these feelings. We all have these things.
And intuition. And intuition. Get what you want to call gifts. Like and I think sometimes, if I were to, you know, knowing you as well as I do, I think you use words to say, I can't feel that, I can't understand that, because you're feeling it. You are feeling it, and it's a...
I'm trying to feel it from my brain, but I don't...
So that's a fear of feeling it in your belly.
Correct.
And what's in the between there is your solar plexus. This is the place of role and responsibility, and I am. So I would guess, if I were to make something up, mm-hmm. not reading your energy, but make something up, you might say, well, maybe there's another archetype where you were in your feelings deeply and things didn't get done. Mm-hmm. Then people didn't get served, and you considered it your fault because you were so emotional, you were inept. Mm-hmm. So in this present moment, you're going to make sure that you're a good father, you're a good husband, you're doing your roles and responsibility, but you're so not going to go into feelings, because if you do, you'll slide right down, and then you won't be functional. Somebody will get hurt, and it will be your fault.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was a place where you wouldn't have forgiven yourself.
Sure.
So the anecdote to all this is to go back and imagine a story like that and forgive yourself for being the person that was so involved in their emotion and so wrapped up that people were hurt because mm-hmm. you couldn't be functional enough to stand up and do your work and do mm-hmm. your job. And to be able to be compassionate with that part of yourself and forgive yourself opens up that space, and then it allows you to connect again. And then your role and responsibility isn't the organizing principle, which it is for you. Like, your organizing principle is your role, responsibility, and doing it as well and as excellently as you can. Mm. So that's like right in your solar plexus. And that separates your upper from your lower connection.
So at the expense of this being all about me, it's the...
Why not?
It's the... Something happened when I was like 7 or 8 years old. I kind of I realized that my parents didn't love each other the way every kid wants their parents to love each other. So when you say forgive yourself, because what I did is I built these walls up to protect myself, because if I felt all the negativity, I would have gone nuts. So I had to build up these walls of emotion.
So what she just said is true. If you weren't such a deep feeler, you wouldn't need walls.
If I wasn't such a deep feeler, I wouldn't need mm-hmm. walls.
Mm-hmm. He's like, he's seen the sentence in his brain.
Do you see that?
I don't. Sorry.
So as a kid, the reason you built walls is because you're so deeply feeling and sensitive.
Yes.
So you are now too. It's
yes.
just that the walls are still up.
Yes, I need to break those walls down.
No, you need to say hello to the walls. Mm-hmm. And
say
let them be
to the walls.
Yeah, and let them be okay to be there and admire the guy that gave you an ability to not only survive
yeah.
but to get new gifts
yeah.
that allowed you to be a good role and responsibility
yeah.
parent
yeah.
and husband.
Embrace that
yeah. and say hello to that guy.
Right.
Because that's just a persona. That ain't you.
Right.
But we think it's us because
right.
that's how we kind of go around.
That's our role. That's what this is my day-to-day.
That's a kind of persona of survival that I built.
Interesting.
And isn't it wonderful how I did that? It's amazing that part of me. See, he breathed. Whenever you do something that's a truth, he is. Yeah.
Well, you've given uh-huh. me some things to consider and contemplate and pray and meditate on, which I'll be happy to do. I do feel like we need to serve our listeners a little bit because I think there's a lot of listeners.
I think it does. And I'm fine with that. We can move to, because I do want to get back to kids.
Yeah.
But it's all telling someone else's story
mm-hmm.
helps everybody's story.
Yeah.
So.
And maybe this is my, you know, my personality. Like we need to, you know, I need to sacrifice my own wonderful insight as a result of us talking and instead give it to the listeners. Because I think there's a lot of listeners out there that are saying to themselves, my kid has something special and it's weird and I don't understand it. I don't know how to do it. And I feel like
we need to
move in that direction.
Well, I do want to say that a lot of kids are clairsentient these days and they get overwhelmed because
yeah.
they're connected as an indigo, for example, they're connected to world problems
yeah.
and they're connected to the suffering that's going on. And boy, do we have a lot of things happening on the planet that kids are just, I mean, there's no reason that we have the quote-unquote diagnosis of depression going down to three-year-olds now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are suicide is one of the second leading causes of death of children 10 years old to 15.
Mm.
There's absolutely so what does that mean? It means we are lacking a world that understands meaningful connection
mm-hmm.
within and without, and we're lacking a culture of kindness and respect. And that begets violence against ourselves and with others.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now we're in a place where these children are experiencing this. If they at least know that they can go to the, for me, it was called the tabernacle in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can go to a sacred place in your heart and you know that what you can connect to there is bigger than you and bigger than all of the conflict around you. I always tell kids that have this kind of, I don't see kids specifically because what I do, the work I do, requires me to do some funny gestures, and I don't want to scare them. But there are kids who are 10 years old who have asked to see me.
Mm.
When their moms tell them they know, and they come in, and I talk to them. Some of them are autistic, and they come in, and they talk to me. And I talk to those kids because they are spiritually advanced, and they're old souls.
Mm.
And I talk to old souls a lot because we understand each other.
Mm.
But to help them understand intuitively, not only do you have a place to go, but I tell them, you take what's in your heart, whatever you see when you feel really like put upon, you feel really burdened, take that and send it back to God, because whatever God is for your faith
right.
tradition, you know, whatever it's nature or waterfall, I don't care. It's just you want to say, you have something bigger than you that's looking out for everyone, but you have these beautiful gifts that allow you to sense into when someone is in need of prayer and intention. So when you feel it, you give it right back.
Mm.
Because if you keep it, it's not going to help them and it's not going to help you.
Mm.
So you're teaching them what to do with their energetic gifts,
mm.
right? And you also teach them the clairsentience. You teach them to clear their field in the morning, to ground. You teach them grounding, centering, and healthy boundaries by different exercises that are very basic to kids who are sensitive. And, you know, it's funny how I say to people, you know, I'm doing this class for old souls and I'll say the word old soul I watch parents and this mother looks at me and she stops and she just looks at me and she says, I have one of those. It takes her a moment.
We know.
We know we have one of those. It's so funny that there's no, she didn't ask me for the definition. I have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And she has three kids, but there's always like that one. It's that one. It's that one.
We do
yeah,
too.
And we do. We think
mm-hmm.
we do too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And so.
Pardon the interruption, folks. We'll get back to the interview in a sec, but I want to give you three reasons why you need a McGill First Aid Kit. Number one, it's got the best supplies, not the cheapest. Number two, it's got everything in a standard first aid kit and much, much more. And three, it spells everything out for you in an emergency with their color-coded instructions inside the box. So here's the deal. Visit McGillFirstAidKit.com to buy your $70 kit for just $60. And make sure you use the special coupon ZenCode to get free shipping and the $10 discount. Would you like to be more mindful and present but are having trouble? Do you want the support you really need to make it happen? Our partner, Hunter Clark Fields, created Present Mama Community because mothers like you are asking for continued support. In Present Mama Community, you get mindful parenting lessons, short yoga practices that can fit into your day, and guided meditation specifically for busy moms. But the ultimate value is in the support. You can hop on the phone multiple times a month for live coaching calls to help you through your challenges. Go to presentmamacommunity.com to check it out.
And so, because you said those things, can you give us a grounding activity, like something that someone could, what is a grounding activity for the morning for a kid or a parent for that matter?
Well, I can give you a few. If your child has a lot of hyperactivity, mm-hmm. they're usually taking on other people's energy. Mm-hmm. So when you can put their, just a sort of emergency thing, if you can put their hands or feet in sand or in dirt or even warm baths at night, that dissipates the electrical charge that they're running. Mm. If they're open to, let's say, fun exercises, even yoga, if some of them do that, I recommend all martial arts for these kids because it allows the body to go in harmony with the energy. Mm-hmm. If your body goes ahead of your energy or is out of sync, then you'll be scattered and people will say, oh, there's an ADD kid. No, there's a kid that's out of sync with their, out of harmony with themselves. So martial arts says you can't move your body unless your energy goes with it. Mm-hmm. So it's a good discipline and training for anyone who has, because typically these kids are vibrating at a rate that's higher than their body typically accommodates easily. Mm-hmm. And the other one is a grounding exercise. You can imagine the tree trunk at the bottom of your spine. I always say to people, just sense right now that at the bottom of your spine, there's a weight. Just sense that weight there right now and let it drop down into the center of the planet. And imagine Mother Earth's arms wide open with her heart there saying, oh, good, here you come. Mm. And go all the way into it because you're making a connection in a relationship that's very rich. Mm-hmm. And you can make it, imagine the trunk of the tree having some root systems. And in comes the nutrients from the root system. Comes into your feet, legs, and thighs, and then back down into the center of the planet. So you're clearing out anything in your path that's going to stop you, impede you, and also attuning yourself. Because I always say, remember, Mother Earth knows your true path and supports you every step of the way. Don't forget that. What an incredible relationship we have with that earth under our feet. And we often forget that it's a sacred relationship.
Yeah.
And when we activate the sacred relationship, we'll feel more supported and that will help us on our journey.
It's beautiful. And that, I mean, just the, you know, because as you're saying it, I'm like picturing it, doing it myself, but just the images that you're saying, you know, being wrapped and being rooted and being, and just it makes your body go, huh,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It like it calms,
yeah.
It's like a visualization in itself. And that is important, obviously, for the child, but parents can do the same
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. That's why this class I'm doing includes the parents, but exercises for both, because I think, especially if your child is clairsentient, if your child picks up other people's feelings, they're going to, by the way, people who are clairsentient pick up the denied feelings of others.
Yeah.
So if others are saying, and by the way, what do you deny? You don't deny happiness, excitement, you know, love. You deny, I'm angry, I'm
sad,
frustrated, I'm terrified. And that's what they pick up. And so when, and this is the hard part. So when parents are trying their best to, in front of the kids, show a happy face, you'll get a clairsentient in there and forget it. They get everything you're not saying. They're totally picking up that you're resentful, you're bitter, you're angry, and it's either going to come out their mouth or their body's going to start doing something that represents that hysteria. And then you're going to say that kid needs drugs because they're hysterical. No, you need to get in touch with your feelings, parents, and be honest with them about how hard, if you're going through a difficult time, that's what that is. And then they feel seen, heard, and understood at a level they don't even understand that they have,
exactly.
Right? So it's one of those things that you want to trust, trust yourselves to be not role and responsibility parents, but to be honest as you can about where you are right now in a way that the child can hear.
Yes.
Well, and that's like one of the gifts and burdens of being married to you, sweetie. I'll walk in the door and I'll be in a crappy mood, but I'll put on a smiley face because I don't want you to think I'm in a crappy mood. And you'd be like, I know you're not in a good mood.
And it's a good thing because the conversation begins. I think the harder part, the thing that I've had to work on is because with my children, because I feel, you know, the difference of they're fine and I know they're not. And when I say I know they're not, I don't mean there's some big problem that right. I have to uncover. There's – I can you know, again, words don't – I just don't feel settled. There's something that, you know, are you okay? And usually something comes out or they just have a good sneeze. You know, which is like you were saying, the breathing and the cough. I always feel like my oldest daughter has this really, really huge sneeze, and it's like this release that she has. You know, and we're like, okay, I don't even know what it was for her. Like, it doesn't always have to be verbalized. You know what I mean? It's just like creating that space for, like, you know, I'm noticing that something's going on, and then she it's hard to talk about. But anyway, yes, and there is, and I think it's good because when we are attuned to that, and as Teresa is saying to you, so are you. When we are attuned to that, then things can be. It's everything we talk about. It's why the conference was called "Let's Get Real." Let's just be real. What's happening right now, and when you are present with what's going on, you don't have to worry about the future. You don't have to go to what's going to happen next week. You're just doing one day at a time. You're doing one moment at a time.
Yeah, my best example of, because I don't feel like I'm open to this intuition, and the only example I have is I do trust my first impression of people even before I even meet them. And what I mean, like, talk to them, like, I'll shake their hand and I will know whether or not this is somebody, not who's good or bad, but somebody who I'm going to connect with. And that's like the only example. I mean, you can do 10 from yesterday.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the only example that I can give that it is an intuition. And yeah, it's not always 100% correct, but almost always it's 100% correct.
Absolutely. That's, and so you're open to intuition.
Yeah. So pull from that string.
I know. So, and I honestly could sit here and talk to you for a long time. It's noon right now. How much time do you have left before you have to bail?
I probably should go.
So let's do this. Let's talk about this class because I want people to know what's available. Tell us about this class and what you're doing and the dates and how they can find you.
Okay. And so because I've been doing readings with children where parents call in and they give me the children's name and I help them understand their child differently and I help them to support them in concrete ways and help them understand them differently, I began to see that, in fact, this kind of help was working for some time, but I really felt like, how do they get steeped in practice with this? And how do they get a more comprehensive understanding of both what they can do for themselves and their child? So I'm putting together a class that is very exclusive. It's only 16 parents, and it's going to be 6 months. It's going to be twice a month that we meet, and there's going to be a chat room, and we're going to have a mastermind class with it where parents are sharing what they've learned from applying what I teach in the classes. So it's quite comprehensive. And on May 2nd, we're having what people can do is, if they want to think about doing that class, they can get a hold of me at assistrowley@gmail.com, which is ROWLEY, assistrowley@gmail, and just put in parent class on the subject line. And then we'll get back to that person right away and we'll talk about whether this works for them, because it's quite the commitment. But yeah, we want to make sure that this is information and support that they can use for a lifetime. That's the objective of it. And I'm also giving them each 20-minute readings with their children up front to make sure that everything in the class is aligned with all the children that will be in the group energetically, even yes, if not physically. Yeah. So that's the class. And then May 2nd, we're going to get together and from 7 to 8, and we'll get more details. But
is it virtual or is it in person?
We'll have in person, but we will have some people virtual because we'll probably have people from.
So if you're from California, you can express interest in possibly
doing
this.
Yes, you can do that too.
That's wonderful. Because
most of our listeners are not from around here.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yes and no. I mean, there are definitely people from Chicago, but it's a great audience.
Most of our listeners are not from around here. So
yeah,
but okay. The good news is that energy is non-local.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
But so it would Skype them in, though. It wouldn't be a phone call. We would want to see the person's face and we would want to get to know them.
So this information is going to be in our show notes, including your email where they can reach you. But also, if you are doing any posting on social networking, we'll do that too. So, awesome. You know, send us whatever you have because we'll help you. Because I know for some people listening, these things are a leap because they're focusing on, they're seeing things in a different way. And again, it's not right, wrong, or bad or good. It's just, you know, we have our own perception of how we see things. But I really like these conversations, and I love knowing people like you and just broadening the way we see things. Because what you said at the very beginning, Todd, is true. We can be logical and practical and be very thinky, but all of us can agree, there's no way we can know everything. We can't tap into the mystery of everything. Not everything is thinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so much of it is beyond our own brain. And it's, you know, and right now my whole body is... I'm like this, and it's all tingling, and the top of my head, and those are not. That happens to people all the time. But then all of a sudden they'll be like, "What's wrong with me?" Versus, "This is good. This is you're tapped in. You're connected.
Your signal." And I always think the reason that I think that the way intuition and logic comes together for me is that readings are an hour and a half, and I go deeply into someone's field, and I tell story after story after story that form a theme that help them understand not only where their fear came from, but the source of that theme. And when I'm all done telling these stories, that would, if anyone was listening to me on the outside, they would say, "Well, that's a ridiculous story." Right. And at the end, almost every client to a T says, "Well, that makes sense." Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Which means that their logic caught up with their intuition and said, "Okay, now I can connect these dots that the intuition has pulled in from all this holographic data. And now I can bring it down into the ground and say, that makes sense to me." So they work together. It's just often that intuition leads and then logic catches up.
Right.
We want them to work together.
Yeah.
They're supposed to.
What is your book about?
So Mapping into Reality, I have understanding of how I went from experiencing mysticism as a child to interpreting that as intuitive intelligence over time. I spent a lot of time doing large-scale systems change in business, so I look at that as a system that has a consciousness, and I facilitated change, and I show how I interpreted that. And then I talk about the readings, and I give examples of readings so people can see that life is one whole story and that they can recapture their power from any time and any place. And then I have a chapter on, and I have a map there so people can see where all this information comes from in the unconscious mind. And at the end, it's talking about the new children and why they're here and how we need to support them.
Wow.
It's phenomenal.
It's really
interesting. Thank you. I know. Well, I have it, Todd, so it's your next book. It's not on audio, is it? Because Todd loves audio books.
I do.
Oh, I do. I love audio books, too. Thank you for saying that. It reminds me. I'll get it on audio. Maybe you'll wait until I get it on audio.
So, Dr. Therese Rowley, what's your website real quick?
It's therese.com, therese.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you so much for all you do for the world and your commitment to families.
Thank you.
You make a great difference in the world. Thank you.
See you guys next week. Thanks for listening, folks. Hope you felt outstanding. So there's some different ways you can support us. One of them is by asking either Kathy or myself, or maybe both of us, to speak at your next event. Or you can also tell a friend about our podcast. If you ship Amazon, go through the link on ZenParentingRadio.com first. It doesn't cost you anything, but Zen Parenting will get a small commission. You can also buy any of Kathy's three amazing books through Amazon or our homepage. And if you're like me and you want to teach your children personal financial management, then use FamZoo. It's an amazing resource. It's a virtual family bank that will set your children on a path towards financial freedom. Click on the link on the lower right-hand side of our homepage to learn more. And if you're a Chicago guy and want to learn more about The Tribe, the men's group that I lead, go to thetribemensgroup.com. Do you want to grow your business by partnering with us? Shoot me an email. And you can also give us an iTunes review. Lastly, you can subscribe to our podcast through our homepage or iTunes directly. This will guarantee you're up to speed on the latest and greatest of Zen Parenting Radio. You can always send me an email at comments@zenparentingradio.com, and I'll be happy to get back to you as soon as I can. Finally, we're thankful for all your support and encouragement, and always remember that the best predictor of a child's well-being is a parent's self-understanding. Keep trucking.